Show presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is the Ed Hawken Show, episode 23.
That's right.
And yes, and joining with me, as always, is the award-winning Randall.
Hello. How you doing? Hello, Radio Land.
I just want to let you know, Randall, in fact, if you listen to the current episode of Brandon Radio, we have a certain segment where we do a eulogy for Rob in the future, and you actually won the Academy
Did
Award
Rob,
for Best Picture.
Is Rob dead?
In the future, yes.
Oh.
But in
I don't want to alarm you. We're all dead in the future.
You son of a bitch. You
end
had
of,
to ruin it for everybody.
End of podcast.
Oh.
Good night, everyone.
Yes. Game over, everybody.
Episode 23 of the Ed Hawken Show.
Yeah. Was brought to you by...
Oh, yeah, we can talk about our unofficial sponsor. Jolly Rancher Awesome Twosome Chews.
So these are gummy candies, would you say?
They are gummy things filled with other gumminess covered in sugar. I don't know what they are.
Well, gummies are usually made of sugar. So
they are delicious, though.
Did you eat gummy bears as a kid?
I still eat gummy bears.
What about gummy worms?
Gummy worms are good, too, but they'll make you sick pretty fast, though. I mean, because, like, they sell them if you go... Like, I live near an AM/PM, so
yep.
If I, like, one day I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I want some fucking candy, which this is why I can't smoke pot, by the way, because I already eat, like, way more candy than I should.
Yeah.
And so if I started smoking pot, I think I would just... That would just double.
Right.
I have all the inclinations of a heavy pot smoker, or a stereotypical pot smoker.
Yes.
But anyway, so if I live near the AM/PM, and the only gummy worms that they have are the big giant pack. It's like $1.50 or something for this like huge 30-ounce. It's like It's like a pound of gummy worms in this big bag. They have like a whole.
Yeah.
You know when you go in and have the rack of bags and they're transparent,
yeah,
but they have that yellow top tab thing.
Right. The bulk candy, yeah.
Yeah, and so they have those, and like I would just get one of those and then be like, oh, I'll just have a couple and while I'm working and blah,
blah,
blah.
And then you're passed out.
Then next thing, you know, I have like 50 of those and then it's disgusting.
Well,
so.
did you ever encounter, and I've seen this, where they some places will sell the one giant gummy bear. It's like it's the size of your fist,
I've
basically.
Only heard of it, but I wish I had one.
That's disgusting, actually.
I want one very bad.
Did you ever, when you bought a bag of gummy bears or gummy worms, if it was a particularly warm day, that they all kind of formed together in one mass of gummy?
No, I've never seen that. Again, something I would really love to see, but
that sounds incredibly disgusting.
Remember, by the way, gummy bears now, I don't know. Gummy bears now, back in the day, speaking of stuff that would like melt together, was fruit snacks. I don't know if you remember having fruit snacks as a kid.
Is that like a fruit roll-up?
You never had fruit snacks, man?
Oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about.
They're like little, they're fruit snacks.
Yeah, they come in little packages, and they usually be like, it was basically
they're
gummies.
Delicious. They're candy. They're
gummy candy, yeah.
It's
yeah,
basically
yeah.
candy.
I remember distinctly, I think there was one that was like, it was a soda bottle shape.
Yeah. It was like 7-Up. They had the 7-Up kind.
Yeah,
they had the root beer.
Chewies.
Yeah.
They still exist.
No, they do, but back in the day, they had a different consistency. Like, I don't know if, when I was a kid, and I saw another student do this when I was in, like, second grade or something.
Snort them?
They would, yes.
Okay.
Like cocaine. No, I think you'd suffocate on that, by the way. Just get lodged in your sinus cavity. Yeah.
Gummy rocket.
Jesus,
shot was
suffocated
trapped in his
on a 7-Eleven gummy worm. not 7-Eleven. Sorry, 7-Up. Anyway, moving on. So back in the day, the consistency of those were such that if they got warm enough, you could take a gummy and you could, like, this kid mashed it against the desk and just turned it into like a pancake of like a little puddle of fruit snack, but it was like just a flat thing, but it was still solid and it's, you know, it's consistent, but it was like clay, you know, like molding clay, like you can turn it into whatever you want. And it was fascinating. But nowadays, if you buy fruit snacks, like let's say you're like me and you're the grocery store, you forget to eat like a grown-up, and you buy a box of fruit snacks because you go, hey, these used to be awesome. I'm just going to throw these in here because I don't want to eat candy, but I have a sweet tooth, you know,
yeah,
whatever. I like sweet shit, and I don't want too much sugar, so you throw those in there, and then
right,
you get them, and they're like gummy worms now. They're like too chewy and everything. And I miss the old school, the old school fruit snack consistency. I don't know. You're kind of look puzzled right now, but
now,
if anyone can back me up on this, please come to my aid.
Was this kid kind of one of those fat kids with a BO problem?
No, man.
Was he kind of those wrong side of the track kids?
This kid was crazy, though. He was the same kid. I remember this kid because he scarred me. He kind of always wanted
mentally or physically?
Mentally.
Okay.
But here's the thing. In class, we used to have one of those automatic... I think I might have told this story before. We had one of those automatic pencil sharpeners, one of those electronic ones.
He didn't stick his dick in the pencil
sharpener. Listen, don't ruin the story.
Oh, my God.
So, this kid, he liked attention a lot. He was always trying to get attention. And we had this electric pencil sharpener back in the day, which was amazing when you're a little kid, because it's like, wow, and it's the fucking, you know, early 90s, late 80s, whatever.
Yeah.
And, he put his pinky in the electric pencil sharpener while it was on and shredded the shit out of his finger. And I don't know what the fuck he thought was going to happen, but Jesus Christ, I've never seen anything more horrifying, because he obviously fucked up his finger really bad.
Was he screaming?
And we saw it. Oh, yeah. He was... Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Jesus Christ. But anyways, he shredded the shit out of his finger. And I remember that, and it's burned in my brain. And then I remember also it healing... And looking something like a boat propeller type shape, you know, just like this, you know, fucked up starfruit looking mangled mess. It was horrifying.
And that kid grew up to be
the president of the United States of America.
and now you know.
Now he's the governor.
The rest of the
yeah,
story.
He's the governor of Utah or something. Exactly. I don't know. But
I was gonna say Justin Bieber.
I'm surprised. I'll be surprised if he's still alive by now. If he pulled some shit like that when he was a kid.
I was gonna say Justin Bieber, but you beat me to the punch. And speaking of that, what'd you think of his death on CSI?
That was something else, man.
That may be the golden age of television right there, the greatest thing ever. I can't say much. I will say he doesn't really have much of an acting ability. It's one of those things where you could see the wheels turning, but nothing's happening. You know, and I actually worked in a reference to Addicted to Love while I was making a reference to that. It's like, yeah, you can see the wheels turning, the lights are on, your mind is not your own. You know, no one reacted.
Well, he's got that blank stare. Well, he's a dumbass kid. I mean,
that too.
I don't mean that.
But who
like,
isn't a dumbass?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not singling out Bieber here. I don't even know anything about Bieber, so whatever. I know about his song. I told you about the phenomenon where I was in a bar, and it was funny. We were out celebrating a friend's birthday.
Yeah.
And somebody threw on Bieber in the middle of this bar, right? And it's his big hit.
On the jukebox?
I don't know who I don't know where this came from. It just happened out of nowhere. I was pretty buzzed, so I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was on my iPod. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway. it came on, and it was funny because every girl in the place sang along with it and knew it, like and loved it. It was hilarious because I just thought every girl secretly is a Bieber fan, and all the dudes were very very confused.
Yeah.
But anyway, other than that, I don't know anything about Bieber. So,
kids
are fucking stupid.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
whatever.
And we're guilty of that ourselves. I can't say much about it. I do know when I've gone out to WeHo. Thankfully, this hasn't happened much. I remember I'd be going out dancing, and someone put on it was like a lot of crappy songs. But when you're drunk,
Rammstein,
it was not Rammstein, unfortunately. But yes, because because Rage decided
Du Hast
decided to play Feuer Frei. That was what they wanted from freaking Triple X.
Well, and I don't know what kind of places you're going to. I don't know what kind of music
it's
they
regular,
play.
I mean, it's regular like dance music and like
Is it like old school? Like what is love? Like
no,
that kind of thing?
No. If or this like, was 1993, they'd be
where
playing.
Where do you go?
Ooh, my lovely. Or, you know.
I want to know. Where do you go?
So, but no, they would play. It was one of those collaborative hip hop songs, and had Justin Bieber, and it was like. It's kind of one of those things. I don't know if you've gone out dancing and you're like.
To gay bars? Yes, all the time.
Yeah. But no, it's you've gone out, you're enjoying yourself, and then they put this one song that completely kills the flow. And I've been there where I'm like, I can't dance to this. I'm just kind of standing there. I'm like, I'm not sure what to do here, so I excuse myself off the stage. I'll excuse myself off, not the... There actually is a raised platform
you can dance on. You're like, I'll get out of this cage and quit dancing.
Yes. I'll take my break and, change my booty.
Those go-go boots can hurt your feet.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
But, you've never told us what you do for a living, but I assume it's some sort of deviant...
But yet titillating behavior. And as you know, exactly. I'm trying to use the word titillating more often.
I appreciate that.
You know, although there is one thing I do when I do go out dancing, and it's I don't know why I do this, but when I'm really into it, I'll start, especially if I'm dancing.
You get an erection, is that? That's okay. It's all right.
My special purpose.
Yes. You're just rubbing it all over.
Yes, my special purpose, because as you know, I was born a poor black child, but. No, I'll start, lip syncing to the song. It's just something I do, and it's I don't know if people would find that cute, or maybe it's kind of weird, but
people probably don't care. No offense.
Exactly, they don't. Thank God they.
Nobody
don't.
Gives a shit, especially out here.
Oh yeah, and as I always like to say, I'm glad. You know what? I'm not going to run for political office, so none of this stuff could be used against me in future political races. So, it's all well and good. But yeah, in terms of that, I mean, that's all there is to it. But. Just to change.
Politics is for closeted gay guys. That's the big thing.
Well, that's if they're hardcore conservatives.
That's
now,
what I'm saying.
The funny thing I mentioned that is because WeHo is in the middle of an election right now, and there's actually a couple of great articles in the LA Weekly, and there's some really strange stuff. It's very interesting just to learn about the power plays involved, because a couple of people have been on that council for like 20-some-odd years. I know this is like really, really local bullshit, but it is very interesting to read about that.
Well, when you start delving too much into LA's political history and background,
yeah.
It's really depressing. It's a terrible town.
It's depressing
town.
Anywhere you go.
Well, but especially here, I think. Because there's like, this place does not nurture an interest in politics, even for anyone. Like, I don't want to go off on a political tangent here, but Los Angeles is not a
I think part of that is because the positions themselves are not all that powerful. It's not like, say, you went to New York or Chicago where the mayor means something.
Yeah.
Because in the West, and because this was a progressive state, this is also why we have, we have like 7 electable state offices, is because at the time of the progressive era, at the turn of the century, people wanted to diffuse power.
Yeah.
So that's why people are running for office of like controller and like superintendent of public instruction. Like, who gives a fuck about these races? And what's funny is it was just really interesting learning about the WeHo stuff. Because I know people think, about WeHo, it's like, they know it as, Gay Town USA. I mean, that's basically one street. Speaking of that, there's actually this great book. And you can get it at the library, because I say this because, as you know, Borders just shut down. But I wasn't buying books there anyway.
You just went in to look.
You just looked and browsed. Touched stuff. You filled up the merchandise.
Yeah.
You left. Did you ever try to buy CDs or anything like that? Or would you try to buy?
I spent a lot of time browsing and not buying anything.
Same
and
here.
And looking up books that I would later buy on Amazon.
Yes, I agree. And then the other thing was... So there'd be this book called Gay LA, and what's going on with that is that it was a history of, of gays and lesbians in Los Angeles, and it was really, really fascinating. And obviously part of that comes from the fact you had the entertainment industry, so you had that going on. And then the other reason why you had that particular area of West Hollywood was the fact that there was looser enforcement. Was less harassment from the cops.
Yeah.
So... I know you had to blow your nose there for a second. That's why there was a little.
I was trying to do that discreetly, sir. Thank you very much.
I was just explaining to the audience why.
I pantomimed to cover me while I did that, and then you just totally outed me right now.
We have realism on these guys.
Well, it's fucking like 40 degrees right now.
Yeah, I know.
Pouring rain.
It's raining like Blade Runner outside.
And
which is cool to walk in, cool to look at, not to drive in. But that's another story. In fact, we got a after the show, we got a midnight showing at the New Bev. So
we do. We'll have to talk about that next time.
Yeah, we can't wait. We'll see how it goes. But
yes.
I'm just saying, I'm seeing it for regular or menthol. That's the money shot.
Well, we're supposed to be heading out to a screening, a midnight showing of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
From 1990, the first
theatrical
film,
Ninja Turtle movie.
An amazing piece
Tour
of cinema.
Force.
I'm not seeing it ironically. I fucking love that movie.
It's a surprisingly good movie. Although, do you believe that there? Because I had heard once that there was talk of like there was like an extended cut. It was like more violent.
Ooh,
like that.
I would love to see that.
I have no idea, but like I said, I want Sam Rockwell should have gotten more time.
Well, Skeet Ulrich got nothing, so...
Where the hell was Skeet Ulrich?
He's one of the Foot Clan also.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
See, whatever happened to the guy who played Danny, the kid? Whatever happened to that
nothing.
Guy?
Nothing. He's like, what's his name? Brad Renfro.
He's dead?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he's dead. He's just that guy who was like, hey, what happened to him?
I think the better answer would be, like, he's like the guy from E.T. and...
Yeah.
Who just didn't... I mean, he was a kid. It was
or Drew Barrymore. Went nowhere.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay, then. But yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that, and oddly enough, that show is sold out. They're also going to show Demolition Man later in the month. What do you think? You think that's a good movie to bring a date along?
I wouldn't call that a great date movie. I wouldn't call The New Bev a great date place.
Are you serious?
You know why? Because here's why. I only go when I really want to fucking see a movie.
Yeah.
And if I was on a date... It would be, of course, I have a girlfriend, so whatever. I mean, yeah. Like, I could take her there. We've been there, and it's cool. But what I mean is, like, if I was dating someone,
right,
and all that shit, I wouldn't be taking her to my favorite genre flick. You know what I mean? It'd be like, you know, we gotta. It's just kind of weird. It's like, hey, sure? Let's go see RoboCop.
Well, obviously, you'd have to discuss interest, but I think that, you know, I think it's
no,
really,
I don't think so.
God damn it!
How far along? Like, is first date?
No, I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to hang out. I mean, say you're not in a date situation, you're more of a...
What the hell... Well, think about it for a second. What the hell is a girl going to be interested in about... Like, okay, it's not like you've known each other long enough to where it's like, hey, I want to show you my favorite movie.
Right.
And she's going to be cool about
That's
it.
That's true.
The same way, like, if she wants to show me something or I want to take her somewhere or do something that she's really into, but I'm kind of not into. You know, it's a relationship compromise.
Right.
Like, maybe she's really into going to... Like, she really wants to go to, a fucking museum of some type that you're just not into. Like, perhaps the body art museum where they reposition corpses.
Oh, the California Science Center?
Yeah, like, something like that, where that would just, like, straight up, you're just like, not really cool. I'm
Did
not really
you go out
into
and
that.
Eat a big meat sandwich afterwards? Or
I wouldn't have a problem doing that. But anyway, I'm just saying, like, you know, you take someone somewhere. I like, that was the weirdest possible scenario, but I just mean, like, you know, someplace you don't
point.
A concert or something you don't want to really go to, but you're right. Like, it's cool, I'll go see fucking Justin Bieber because that's what you're into or whatever. And
for the record, I'm not into Justin Bieber, I can assure you. Just want to make that
that's,
clear
that's not what I was implying. Yeah. But anyway, so you know, that's, you got to feel it out a little bit more, so to speak.
Well, that's a very good point.
Let's go see Demolition Man. That's a bit much.
What if you just want to be, just being friendly and you're like, hey, what do you think about
what
this?
What the fuck is Demolition Man got to do with a relationship? For a relationship?
I don't fucking know.
In any way,
it's just something to do.
It's
God
not even
it.
Fun. It's not even a good movie.
That's the point.
So you want to go see it ironically?
I guess that's
so
right.
So you want to enjoy? You want to have? You want to have a hipster date?
What's wrong with that?
A hipster date? What's wrong with a fucking hipster date?
What's wrong with that?
Everything.
But they're
it's
some
a hipster.
Of them are hot. You know, they're...
Oh, my God.
What?
I can't have this conversation.
I'm not going to lie.
I didn't realize you had a secret hipster agenda here.
I didn't have a hipster agenda.
That's
here.
A hipster agenda? Going to see a fucking...
Well, who's going to say they're going to want to see Demolition Man because they thought it was good?
Wait, why? Okay, why do you want to see Demolition Man?
I'm not. I was just proposing it as a hypothetical scenario.
Why would you want to go see Demolition Man anyway?
I don't know. It was something to do.
Do you like that movie?
It's all right.
No, I'm not saying, like, ooh, I don't like the movie, but I don't give a shit if you like the movie. I'm just saying, do you like that movie? Is that why you want to go see it and you just want someone
to
go?
No, I didn't say I wanted to see it. I was just proposing it as, like, an idea. I wasn't going to say I was going to carry
okay,
it
well,
out.
Then that means just you're insane. That's just awful. That's a terrible idea. Get those ideas out
well,
of your
for
head.
The, yeah, I know. It was. It
just do the opposite. I'm telling you, like, if you want to go on a date, go see a movie that's not Demolition Man. Pretty
okay,
much
well,
any
I,
movie.
Just for the record, just to
a revival showing of Demolition Man. Jesus
for
Christ.
For full disclosure, I once, this was about 4 years ago, I was once on a date, and, I mean, it was already failing anyway, but then we went to go see Children of Men, and that did not...
See, again, well. That's not a good date movie.
Well, the date was fucked anyway, so we had...
I've been there, but... Oh God! I've got one particular bad date story.
You know what?
It's so bad I can't tell it because it's painful.
It was horrible.
It involves just failing miserably. But
did it involve the death of John Candy?
Fuck! It may very well have.
Oh my God!
For all I can remember, I probably blocked most of it out.
Okay.
But anyway, so you're talking about Demolition Man here?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I don't think you know it's eh.
Okay. Well, you brought it up.
I
so
did.
You must like it.
Well, it was just something to do. But in this case, I mean, it's...
I don't know what world... Okay, I don't even know why they're showing that movie. I don't know. I didn't know they were fans of that movie. I would rather watch Judge Dredd than Demolition Man.
Oh, my God.
Because at least it's funny. Like, that movie is funny, and I can
funny
laugh.
Funny intentionally or unintentionally?
Well, unintentionally funny. Okay. But also... Funny,
can't
like,
you want to see a Rob
funny,
Schneider
like,
movie.
It's weird that that one has Judge Dredd has this thing where I'm genuinely entertained by that movie. Like, I'm only slightly ashamed to say that. But
do you pump your fist in the air when he actually says, "I am the law"?
I just, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's shitty. It's not, you know, reinventing the wheel or winning any Academy Awards or anything like that, and it's definitely not a good adaptation of the source material.
Yeah.
But goddamn, it's just so, it's like this really, it's like this abortion of an 80s action movie, and it's just, it's like Blade Runner meets Mad Max meets fucking pure, you know, fucking straight up testosterone from, you know, leaking out of Sylvester Stallone onto a page that turned into the script somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened there, but Jesus Christ, every frame of that to me is just amazing. Like, I'm not saying that in an ironic way either. Like I don't enjoy it, but I make fun of it. I don't even make fun of it. I'm just like, fucking yeah, Armand Desante just chewing scenery, just screaming his lines and shit. It's just, it's so satisfying in some weird way.
Did you ever play the video game?
No.
Okay, neither did I.
That was, no, I didn't play that one.
Okay. But, yeah, other
than... So, Demolition Man.
Yeah, Demolition
this
Man.
This is going to be the all Demolition Man podcast. Let's talk about Wesley Snipes.
I can't live in a world where all the restaurants are Taco Bell. I'm gonna take myself out and just...
Shit yourself.
Pretty much put myself out in the shed. And now, I did learn about what the three seashells were for, so when I actually did a cartoon breakdown...
What the fuck does that mean?
It's the way they instead of toilet paper, they have three seashells. Basically, what they...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but...
Just say it. God damn.
Basically, the idea is that the two shells kind of open the business, and then the third shell kind of scrapes out the waste.
Oh, God damn it. That's fucking horrible.
Someone actually did... You know how, like... I don't know if you've ever been on an airplane, but...
Yes, I've been on an airplane. Jesus
Christ.
I'm
just
Christ.
Not sure, God
damn.
They
also kind of savage.
I don't know these things, but...
Good God.
You know how, like, they have those little cartoon graphics for, like, in case of emergency, you can throw yourself out of the plane?
Of course.
If you seek me... Someone did that for the three seashells, and I was like, I never need to see that again. And, once again, I will take myself to the suicide booth if that's the world we live in. So, although I would have loved to have seen the Schwarzenegger Presidential Library, but I'm going to settle for his signature on my degree instead. So,
yeah.
It's certainly something else. Now, I guess also speaking about the future, there was recently an article in Time Magazine, no less, about how some guy proposes in 2045 we're all going to be cyborgs. What do you think about that?
That's probably true. I mean, we're almost at that point now where it's like I'm ready to interface with my iPhone.
Ready to go lawnmower, man?
My iPhone. And when I say interface, I mean have sex with. You understand?
I don't know how you're going to fit your penis in there, to be perfectly honest. That's none of my goddamn business.
what are you implying, goddammit? Anyway, so, yeah, I don't think that's too impossible. I mean, now they're, like, they got, you know, these, like, sunglasses with cameras on them and stuff like that. It's getting to the point where you're going to start not only just wearing things on your body that are sophisticated electronics, but I don't see how, you know, with plastic surgery being so commonplace now and this technology, people wanting to fuse it, you know, never wanting to, it doesn't leave your side anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have a miniature computer in my pocket right now, and if I don't have it in my pocket, it makes me nervous.
Would you also say you have a rocket in your pocket?
No
need to answer that question.
I will not dignify that.
I think it'll be very interesting if that actually happens. I mean, I mean, that we will, you know, I will be 62 years old when this happens, and
fuck, you're gonna be old.
I know.
I'm gonna be 61 dancing on your grave.
we're gonna turn ourselves into Dan O'Herlihy from RoboCop.
Yeah.
So that's how it's gonna be. And I mean, maybe this will be actually something to see. And then it also kind of, you know, you kind of like, I don't know if you ever saw Ghost in the Shell, where like,
nope,
you have the issue. Okay, never mind then. But it's like the idea of, you know, you're leaving your humanity and like your conscience is on, you know, on a system and all that. You got that cyberpunk stuff and like, I don't know. At the moment, for me, it's like at some point, I honestly don't give a fuck.
You know what bugs me about that?
What?
When they do that in movies, I understand the premise of like your consciousness traveling from one place to another.
Yeah.
But it would have to be a duplicate of your consciousness, right?
That's
like,
a good point, actually.
It can't be the original, because it's like you can't unless you turn your
You are uploading a copy of your consciousness onto, say, the net. Now,
right. I mean, like if you could decode the human consciousness anyway, which would be which still doesn't make sense because that's still, in a weird way, even though it sounds scientific, it's more spiritual than it is science-based. Because the consciousness really isn't... the consciousness, if you're talking about life force, and consciousness are two different things.
Yeah.
Your consciousness and your cognitive abilities come from your brain. And it's regulated, you know, with your central nervous system and your body and everything. It's like, it's very sophisticated. You would basically be creating a robot version of yourself, mm-hmm. or a digital version of yourself. But whether or not that could manifest in or outside of a computer and how you would do that, I don't fucking
know.
Well,
I mean, I would definitely say hell yes on Cyborg, so I can finally have some.
Well, I would turn myself into RoboCop when I got old enough. That's what I would do.
You're gonna make yourself exactly look like RoboCop.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not gonna be able to sit down, really. You're gonna be really.
I don't care. I'll be RoboCop. I don't need to sit down. I got robot legs. I don't get tired.
Yeah, there you go. But you're not gonna be able to move very fast.
I don't know.
I would want to be really agile. That's what appeals to me for some reason.
I always thought over time, and this is because I'm a giant RoboCop nerd. But I always thought over time Murphy would be able to move faster because he'd get more comfortable with the robot body.
Yeah,
they just couldn't do it in the old movies because it was a suit. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's very
I think he
point.
Would get more acrobatic over time. And maybe right. add rollerblades onto his feet like in the cartoon. Just helps you get around. Come on, roller shoes.
He's going to have a lot of momentum when he's actually on the... How's he going to stop?
That's how he fucks up crime.
Just by running into things?
He just rolls around firing his gun everywhere.
He's not going to be able to stop. He's got so much momentum on him, he won't be able to, you know, pull over.
Oh, he'll stop.
Oh, okay. But, because, I mean, this leads into another debate I wanted to have is about, because, you know, about the future, you know, nanomachines versus jetpacks. I personally, I'm in favor
now
of
let's, hold on,
here.
let's go back here.
Okay.
What's the correlation between nanomachines and jetpacks?
It's just
here?
Something that you would get in the future. Now, for the record, I mean, jetpacks
what would,
are
so you're saying what would be better?
I'm saying what's better, and I say nanomachines, because you can do all sorts of crazy shit.
I agree with you.
Well, there you go.
No, I'm joking. I don't agree with you.
What do you mean you don't agree?
I just wanted to say that because we set this up. We went through this beforehand, so I know you want to get in a debate about this because we right. had a disagreement already about this. And nanomachines are bullshit.
Well, jetpacks are bullshit. I mean,
because here's the thing about nanomachines. There's all this fiction about nanomachines doing all this sophisticated crap.
Yeah.
But really what they're doing is they're free-floating through your bloodstream. And they attack certain. They act. Some of them act like. They
white
attack
blood cells.
And they attack viruses, and they kill off, you know, whatever the fuck bacteria, whatever you want to call it, that's going through. Maybe they'll clear your arteries out, and whatever the hell is going on. They do all these different functions, these biological functions.
Yeah.
But they're basically acting like extended parts of your body that already exist. They're not doing this magic shit.
But they
shit.
Can improve upon your body. They can make you, like, they can actually, you can probably
yeah,
stand
and you ever
and
see that Outer Limits
ripped.
Episode, the new, of the new
I
one?
I saw that one
where
with
that guy,
Boy. Yeah.
That guy was fucking transforming into a fucking fish guy and all that shit.
Because they worked too well.
Yeah, and they started transforming.
I love that. I remember that episode. I remember when they pulled up the x-ray of his rib cage, and it's got, like, 30 ribs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all like, it was practically
and,
solid.
And when the guy was saying the back of his head hurt and he was digging through his hair and they found extra eyeballs in the back of his skull.
Because they worked too well.
That because the nanomachines were making him superhuman.
Well, see, he made him too smart.
But nanomachines couldn't do shit like that. They can't just. You're talking about machines that are programmed and sophisticated and capable of creating, like, reorganizing your body, your cells and everything in order to trick your structure into becoming something else. Like trick your body into adapting into something new.
Right.
And the fact that you could control the design without it rejecting and killing you is absurd. It's retarded. That's not going
to
happen. That's never going
to
happen.
Well,
that's total science
it's still
fiction.
Better, it's still better than jetpacks. Because what's a jetpack?
Jetpacks, by the way.
Which already exist, by
are
the way.
The shit.
Are horribly
They
impractical.
Are the shit. First off, have you ever seen Kick-Ass?
Yes.
Yeah, and at the end, what happens? Guy shows up
spoiler
in a jetpack.
Spoiler for Kick-Ass.
Sorry, spoiler for Kick-Ass. At the end of the movie, hero shows up on a jetpack.
And murders everybody.
With Gatling guns, murders the fuck out of all the enemies. And that's that. You just that's that.
But again,
balanced,
okay. That, I mean, it, that's all.
That
there
proves
is.
Everything.
But it's not. It's not.
That's
it's
all.
Not, what's that going to do?
That's
improve?
All. You fly and you conquer
well,
your enemies.
Well, all that's going to do with a jetpack.
You can't
is,
do that with nano fucking shit.
But you can do all sorts. You can make yourself, you know, be healthy and live longer, and you'd be able to do all.
Yeah,
sorts
and you're
of
not
stuff.
Gonna be able to live longer when crime is running through the streets. So
yes,
you get a
you
fucking
can,
jetpack
because if you had nano machines and if you were stabbed. The nanomachines will fix you up, and you'll be like Wolverine.
They're not going to fix you up. Dude, if you get shot in the head, nanomachines are not going to save your ass.
How do you know? You don't know
Unless
that.
Unless your precious nanomachines could turn your skeleton into something indestructible.
That's if they're too... Well, I mean...
They can't change
hair
your...
Wire.
They can't
haywire is like an... You know, it's basically
they,
an autoimmune
They don't
disease.
Have the ability to change your cells. Your body knows what it is. You can't if it starts tricking your body, it's gonna fuck you up. That's like billions of years of evolution being tinkered with by tiny robots. You're gonna die. You'll just be dead. Jetpacks, you kill yourself, it'll be awesome.
No, because jetpacks will lead to the fact you can pull your own 911. At least with nanomachines, you won't be able to crash.
But you will die, and that's what's cool about it. Because fuck up, you die with a jetpack. You just plunge headfirst right into the ground. You're dead. Unless you do some retarded thing where you're 4 feet off the ground and you fall and break your legs, and that would really suck. But what
or
I mean
you
is
burn
like,
yourself because you didn't bother to tuck your legs.
I like to. That was something that bugged me in the movie Minority Report when they were on that stupid ass jetpack scene where they're flying around on cables, obviously, and defying gravity, but they're clearly on these really retarded looking engines on their back with fire. These afterburners just that should be burning their legs off. I thought that was insane. That was retarded. That's not the kind of jetpack world I want to live in.
I think there are just better future things we can get. And I think with nanomachines.
What the hell is your problem with the jetpack?
I just think you can just do it. The jetpack ain't all cracked up to be. And again, they exist.
Such a fucking hipster,
but it's
man.
Just not like. And also, I'm kind of weird about throwing myself up in the air with nothing supporting me.
No one's asking you.
That's why
to fly a jet.
That's why I can't bring myself to be in a hot air balloon. So.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm not really good with heights, so.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, I could do it, but it would make me uncomfortable.
I mean, well, here's the thing. I'd rather, you know, it kind of leads into another discussion of, like, would you, you know, in terms of superpowers, would you rather have, like, super strength or the ability to fly? I wouldn't mind having the ability to fly because then you're not going to
fall.
See,
you're not thinking through, though. You're not thinking
Why?
It through. Because if you don't have indestructibility and you can fly. Okay, look at it this way. You're
I just said super strength. I didn't say anything.
Listen, you know, listen. You can fly, just you, right now.
Yeah.
You can just defy gravity and fly everywhere. How fast can you go?
Oh, that's a very good question.
How fast can you go? Do you think you can gain momentum? Because nothing's stopping you.
That's
you
could
probably
point.
Go like 400 miles an hour at least, right?
Yeah, but if you're
fly
able to
around,
go 400 miles an hour,
then you'll get killed when you run into a pigeon. Because you don't have fucking super strength, buddy.
Super strength has nothing to do with the ability of flying, though. Super strength
means
you're going to have to control yourself.
I didn't say that. But
so
here's
the
thing.
So you don't break, you know, like...
Super strength, you can super leap. You can get across town. That's how the old Superman used to do it. That's how Michael Chiklis does it on No Ordinary Family.
That's how the Hulk does it.
And that's
and
how
God
the Hulk
damn it,
did it,
that's how you're going to do it.
Yeah. And listen, you're not thinking it through, man. You fly around, and then if you fly around and you don't have super strength, you got to be really fucking careful. And if you don't have super strength or super invulnerability or whatever, then you can't clean yourself off well by going faster than the speed of light to burn all that shit off your body, or going through the atmosphere to burn shit off your body, because you're gonna get covered in bird shit. It's gonna happen because you're flying around the city and you get covered in crap.
I'd
all
rather,
kinds of
but
crap.
I'd still have the ability to fly because then I wouldn't need a car because then I could just, you know, I wouldn't have to worry
no,
about...
No, man. And you know what sucks, too? You can't go fast. I don't know how you can control yourself when you're flying, like in Magic Flying World when you can fly.
Yeah,
just... I don't know how you control yourself, but imagine this. You're flying through the air. You're a target. You're a target. Think about all the douchebags in the world who just target people all the time. Randomly, on purpose, whatever the fuck. There's always douchebags who just give people shit for no reason.
Well, how many of those idiots are looking up at you? While
You're eventually gonna get it. Somebody's gonna shoot you. Somebody's gonna throw garbage at you. Somebody's gonna throw a used
Look
tampon
out, a
at you.
Look out! Beer can is coming at.
Yeah. Somebody's gonna throw a used tampon at you. I don't know what happens, but you're gonna be a fucking target. You're gonna be a flying target. You got super strength.
Again, super strength though, I think is a problem. Say if you're pissed off and you're gonna like break
how
shit.
How the fuck is
not...
that a problem? That's awesome, dude. Nobody would fuck with you.
I would think it'd be a curse, or like, what happens if you're
a curse? Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a problem.
See, here's the thing, like in that scenario, because this happens, this has happened to everybody except for Vin, because I'm sure nobody. Well, I don't know if anybody's fucked with Vin on the street, like if a civilian's fucked with him.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he'd slit their throat or whatever. But like, you know, guys who are not like myself, I'm 5'8" and I'm pretty like thin, so like I'm
right.
not intimidating or anything. So you know, like I've gotten my share of like bullshit from people over my lifetime of just like somebody being a douche. Back to me, but like if you were flying around, you'd be an extra target for that. But if you had super strength and you were on the street, somebody was bullshitting him, you just fuck him up, man. You just,
just be like
up.
One punch.
Yeah, you it. Just and you don't even like yeah, you don't even like try to hurt him because it's not about physical violence. Because it's like you know I'm not into that. I save that for the goddamn Taliban when I go overseas and fuck people up because I got super strength.
Right.
But before that, I stay here and I'm on, you know, some guy's being a douchebag, somebody cuts in front of me in line, some shit like that, some stupid bullshit thing.
Yeah.
Somebody thinks they're fucking special and does some stupid entitlement bullshit.
Right.
You go over, you just kick their car over, you know? Yeah. Rip out their engine. They're like, hey,
there
asshole.
You go. Just toss it off to the side.
Yeah.
Just or grin. throw it like as if you were throwing someone's keys over the...
Get it. Yeah. Hey, what happened to your truck, asshole? some guy like that. Like some douche who won't go through the green, you know, the left-hand turn on the green. He's just going too far. I get out of the car. Push his car.
Well, see, though, what about the problem, say, if you're having sex and you were fucking so hard that you killed the person you were fucking?
That's a tough one. I remember there's a comic book that dealt with this called The Pro by Garth Ennis, which was about that hooker superhero, which I would highly recommend anybody who likes comics out there.
Or
likes hookers, yes. If you're a hooker enthusiast, a superhero enthusiast, or a Garth Ennis enthusiast, please read this book.
Or if you, yeah.
Again, it's called The Pro. It's just a one-shot graphic novel. It's very good.
Yeah.
And in it, they have the Superman analog character called the Saint, and he's never had a blowjob before. He's never experienced it. And so the prostitute thanks him for saving her baby by basically blowing him. And he's like, move your head out of the way. And she's like, what? And he's like, move. And she moves her head, and he fires it off, and it goes out the building and hits an airplane in the air and breaks the wing off. And I won't ruin the ending of the scene because it gets even worse than that. But
oh my god,
that's what would happen. So yeah, you'd have to deal with that. Probably have to go out to the ocean, or I don't know how you deal with it.
I mean, heaven forbid if you're gonna try and master it. I think you got a real problem.
Yeah, you gotta go jerk off on the moon or something.
What was that explosion I just saw on the moon? Oh, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
Again, this is why I prefer the idea of either flight or just being I don't know, really. I like the idea, like, even, I'm not a fan of, like, really super of speedsters, but I like the idea of, like, with Quicksilver. For some reason, I remember this was... Like,
Quicksilver? Only you would say, I don't like speedsters, but I love Quicksilver.
I didn't love Quicksilver.
Retarded.
Let me get to the fucking point on Quicksilver.
Quicksilver. The Flash is so much cooler than Quicksilver.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I was just about to say, in I think it was House of M or some bullshit storyline where he lost his powers, and he's talking about how, because he was a speedster, and I bet this applies to the Flash, that... Because he's moving so fast, his body is moving so fast, he creates no waste. It's optimum efficiency, which is obviously not possible due to biology. But he creates no waste, and he's just because he's that efficient with his body.
Yeah, I get it. Oh my god, I get it. I still don't like Quicksilver.
Well, I can understand that, but I'm just saying. I think
you can go bang
cool.
his sister or whatever he does in the fucking
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, whatever his bullshit thing is.
Well, aren't they Magneto's kids? Or was that in the cartoon?
Yeah, that was in the comics.
Were they fathered by Mystique? Because she fathered a lot of people.
She fathered a lot of people. She's a woman, right?
Okay, I think she.
Yeah.
So gave
anyway,
birth to a
I,
lot
she
of
is
people.
A shapeshifter. I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah,
speaking of which, did you see the trailer for X-Men: First Class?
I did. What'd you think of it?
I actually really dug it, and it's because I'm a huge X-Men nerd, mostly from like the cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
I read the comics back in the day, but I really liked, you know, I really liked the old stuff, like the Byrne, Cockrum, Claremont stuff.
Yeah.
Growing up, and then a lot of the Jim Lee Claremont stuff too, and then they adapted that a lot of that into the cartoon, which mm-hmm. was a very cool thing, which I've expressed before on the show, my undying love for the X-Men cartoon, and I like this take on the characters, and I know it's a really weird thing because, you know, it's not, I don't know why people are freaking out though about the fact that the original team isn't it, because it's supposed to be a prequel, so they half of them wouldn't even be born yet.
Right.
Beast was already old in the movies.
Yeah,
they're doing their own.
They're
doing their own timeline, so I'm not too concerned about that.
Yeah.
And they changed a lot of shit, but who cares? I mean, that history's so convoluted anyway. Whatever. But I really like the fact that Magneto's a real badass in this one, like mm-hmm. like more ruthless, because that was something I really liked Ian McKellen, but it was really missing from the other movies, was how far he was willing to go, and the fact that he was a killer was not accentuated in the other ones, and they tried to make him a threat sort of philosophically, but in this one it's like he's backing up his promises with
force,
with blood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really it makes him more of a threatening character, and I think he can still be a cool, he can have an interesting philosophy while being a true threat as a villain, as an enemy and stuff. So it's really cool. Plus, they're going balls out and giving them like the yellow and blue costumes and stuff like that, which I thought was really, really, a really bold move, and I think it actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it just looks like fun. It looks like kind of the spirit of the books translated into a whole new premise, you know?
I will see. I mean, I didn't feel I was all that enthused by it, but I've not been really... I mean, I haven't really cared about an X-Men movie probably since X2, so it's... You know, I'm just not all that interested. I'm just not a real fan of prequels at this point. I'm completely just, you know, tired of it. I mean,
yeah.
But I admit, the only X-Men story I ever liked was God Loves, Man Kills, and that's already done in X2. Although, for some reason, I really enjoyed the fact that it was set exactly 1982.
Yeah.
I don't know why I really enjoyed that.
It's like The Dark Knight Returns when it's in Reagan era.
1986. Same thing with Watchmen. So it's just I don't know why I just really enjoyed that.
The dated stuff was really cool. But really, Godless Man Kills is the only X-Men story you like?
Well, I haven't I don't know why. I just haven't read that much X-Men. I remember there was once, I remember this from 2002. It was a miniseries called X Factor, which is not the Mulligan X Factor with Dupe and all that. It was a four-part storyline involved two FBI.
That was X Force. Thank you very much. That was the relaunch of X Force, the Mulligan Allred.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was the relaunch of X Force, not X Factor.
Okay, shit all runs together anyway. So anyway, X Factor involved like these two. It was like a Mulder and Scully like thing. It was these two FBI agents and like this mutant crimes task force, and there was like one was a religious,
I remember that. Yeah.
One was like a religious guy. The other one was, you're gonna stay the fuck up for this. The other one was a woman who had to abort. I think was either she had a mutant kid who died.
Yeah. And this is like CS. This is like Homicide: Life on the Street. X-Men.
Yeah, it was basically in the period when I had a
raging hard on for
law enforcement.
Yeah.
Because for me. You know, I always, for some reason, I always liked guys that lived by their own code, and it always had to be law. Wake up, goddammit. And they all happen to be in law enforcement. So,
I have a code.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I watch Manhunter religiously. I love the shit out of that movie.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that later. Hold on.
What's wrong with Manhunter?
No. Listen, we're gonna talk about that later. We gotta talk about Manhunter. I need to address something.
Okay, what about it?
Later.
We're not gonna
Let's
get
go
to
back.
It?
We're talking about X-Men.
All right, I mean, that's about it. I haven't really much read other X-Men stories. I'm really blanking out. I never really bought the book, and I remember the whole Grant Morrison thing with, like,
Love that shit. I loved Morrison.
Where, I think, what is it, that Magneto became Zorn, and...
No, Zorn was Magneto. Well, spoiler.
Some shit like that. And that humanity was going to, like,
awesome,
cycle
dude.
Itself out after four generations.
They had that. They had this cool thing where they would... The younger generation of rebellious mutants was uprising in Xavier's school, and they would take that drug that would augment their superpowers and their mutant powers.
Yeah.
And it was like an inhaler, and when they inhaled it, it would mutate them. It would take their mutation further.
Right.
It was pretty badass. And then there was a great scene where one of them interrupts Xavier's lecture. And he stands up and he's wearing a t-shirt that says Magneto was right.
Oh.
And that was really cool. It was not bad. If they had kept pushing the regular franchise further, that would have made for an awesome sequel to the movies later. As a younger rebellious team of mutants. That would
basically
cool.
Generation X, unfortunately.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry.
Not that.
Does it involve Beak somehow? I remember that.
Please, no. But anyway, so... But you know what's cool is, like, back in the day when they did these old... They used to do... This is kind of fun, like, when I was a kid especially. I remember reading this when I was, like, 7 or 8 years old.
Right.
Was back in the day, in the old X-Men titles, they would do... And this is, like, you know, I'm reading... reprints of old X-Men from like the 70s
right.
and 80s, and one thing that was cool was like that's cool about this movie that they're doing is that they do these flashback episodes where Xavier and Magneto used to work together in like the war, you know.
Yeah.
they fought in like World War II or some shit, and they fought like Hydra and Baron Von Strucker and shit, and they would like go on missions, but they had their mutant powers and stuff, and it'd help them out and everything, and it was actually it was pretty badass. So and this movie was a lot like that, so I think if you're a fan it really appeals to a few interests, but
going back to X-Men, I just want to mention one other thing is that and I was talking about this on Movie Moan, was that I actually read this somewhere online once many years ago, and some guy was talking about, like, you know, we have all these mutants and they have all these amazing powers, but no one ever talks about, like, the mutants with, like, not so much the debilitating powers, which is basically, like, I mean,
they kill yourself,
disabled, but they just have useless powers. They just that don't do anything and
like
don't
maggot.
Well, there you go. But I'm just saying, like, I remember what the guy wrote was, like, a guy who's able to know what time it is without wearing a watch. He just always knows. Or guy whose dumps smell lemony fresh.
I understand that that's the setup for, you know, a joke and everything.
Yeah.
But that argument bugs the shit out of me.
Why
when they
that?
Use it in movies and TV. Of, like, how come they don't talk about the uninteresting ones? And I'll tell you why.
Because it's uninteresting?
Yeah.
Okay.
That answers itself.
That's
that question
true.
Answers itself.
Why would you? Because
it's fucking boring.
Hey, I think the ability, the fact that if your craft smelled lemony fresh, I think that would be, that's an asset.
That'd be awesome.
The Friends of Humanity would support.
Well,
such
here's
behavior.
The thing about that: if you had lemony smelling shit, you could get as fat as you wanted. You could just become like this fat ass obese freak of nature.
And you could be farting and you could be like just leaving, dropping bombs, and everyone would think, my God, did someone just open a Glades plug-in? It smells fantastic.
They would want you around.
You would be able to eat chili there and cheese.
There used to be a large fellow, nice guy, large guy. I mean, just undeniable. I'm not trying to be a douche. He was a big dude.
He was a fat man.
And he was a big guy, and I remember one of our coworkers complaining about having to go into the bathroom after him, and posting up signs that explained what the courtesy flush was. And accusing someone in HR who hired him of being a woman, obviously, because she didn't have to follow him into the bathroom or follow him, you know, go into the bathroom after him and shit, not follow him into the bathroom. That's not proper
conduct.
There's
no justification for not flushing your business after you're done.
No, courtesy flush, which is the pre off the can flush, which sometimes, to be fair, you got to be really careful with that, because if you flush while you're on the can and you got a high flow toilet, you're going to get all kinds of gurgly business splashing your ass.
That's why you got to be careful.
Like, if you took a whiz first and then flushed while you were sitting on the can, you get a nice, like, urine sprinkle all over your butt area.
Well, let me explain something, because I want to bring this to your attention. You got to be careful when using a handicapped toilet, because they're a little bit higher.
What's a handicapped toilet? I've never seen that.
In a handicapped stall.
I don't think I've... What is
that? You never used a handicapped stall?
I don't know.
It's just a bigger stall.
Oh, yeah, like the ones at the end? Yeah. Like that all the way at the end? I thought it was like some special thing.
You can get some bidet action.
Oh, that's what... Yeah, okay.
That's a little funky, so you got to be careful with that. And, I mean, not to say that's a cool, refreshing feeling, but that water ain't clean, so...
Yeah, that's not how, I got nothing, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, but you were talking about, so what do you want to talk about Manhunter, exactly?
Well, we had brought this up a couple weeks ago, and I was stunned because I had talked about, we were talking about cool serial killer movies, and how, because we were watching Seven.
That's right.
And you were saying that it was like one of the, like, the best serial killer movies of the 90s, or the only serial killer movie
One of the best 90s? Serial killer movies out there.
But I was arguing that Silence of the Lambs was superior, because, and I, basically I was just arguing that that was a superior movie, and not a heated argument or anything. I thought Silence of the Lambs was better. But then you said you didn't like Silence of the Lambs. You liked Manhunter. Now here's the thing.
Okay.
That's all I want to say. Forget that. Explain yourself. What the fuck?
I like Manhunter more.
You don't like Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs is fantastic. But
rate it on a scale from 1 to 10. Silence of the Lambs.
That's a fucking 10, man. 9, 10, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that movie.
It's
a damn good movie.
I mean, in terms of style, and out of all the Hannibal Lecter movies, I like Manhunter the best. I thought Brian Cox was fantastic as Hannibal Lecter. I wish they brought him back, but they didn't.
What the fuck are you talking about? But look, here's the thing. He was great. He can do an adequate... Here's the thing. I've never seen Manhunter, okay? I don't have to see Manhunter to know that Silence of the Lambs is the best adaptation of a Hannibal Lecter story. And the only reason I say that is because, honestly, Jonathan Demme... Is that right? Is that the director's name? Jonathan Demme. I thought that was an actor's name for some reason. Jonathan Demme just really, really put so much effort into that movie. And I don't mean like trying. I just mean effectively telling a very suspenseful, interesting story and weaving it with these characters in such an unconventional way and filling every frame with just a storytelling that just augmented the design of it. And I don't mean visually, I just mean everything, like the cinematography, and I don't just mean lighting, I mean the composition, the way the camera moves, the way they tell this story down to the letter is so meticulously thought out, and not in a pretentious way, but just because the director had such a command of how to tell this story and add layers and layers and layers to it, just with subtext and everything, that it was such a brilliant movie. I'm saying Manhunter can't be better.
It's a different movie, but I
know, but I'm saying it cannot be better.
Well,
not because it's shit. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But it can't be better.
I just like the style and the look of Manhunter more. I mean, both are amazing movies. I mean, for one thing, it's certainly a lot better than Red Dragon. The only good scene in Red Dragon...
Whoa, please don't tell me about Red Dragon. I've never seen it. I want to see it eventually, though. Well, I might be setting myself up for disappointment.
It's a more it's a more true adaptation of the book. Like, I don't know if you ever read the book, but I like Manhunter a lot more. Again, because of the style, because it's Michael Mann. William Peterson's fan-fucking-tastic in it. Mm-hmm. And Tom Noonan is Francis Dolarhyde in this, and he's great. And it's just, I love that movie so much when I came across it in college. Although it's funny, it's one of those movies that had like a shit ton of different versions.
Yeah.
And you know what's also crazy is that in Manhunter, the Stephen Lang, the colonel who would not die in Avatar, plays the reporter in this movie, and you couldn't even recognize him.
Yeah, that guy's a chameleon. He's also in he's unrecognizable in Tombstone.
Yeah.
But wait, so you know, it's funny because I've never seen Manhunter, but I know it has a really shitty reputation as a movie.
I don't know why it does.
Everyone hates that movie. Ooh. And I'm just saying, every time it's brought up, everybody's like,
"Unwashed, idiots must hate it because it's awesome."
Christ, so I was going to ask you about the controversy behind the movie.
The only controversy I ever heard about it was that people kind of bitched that it was really, really 80s. I mean, it's of its time. It was done in 1986,
Ooh.
But the book is written in 1980, so to me, it doesn't matter. In fact, they tried to do touches of this in Red Dragon, and I really didn't care. And again, Brian Cox is amazing as Hannibal Lecter. It's a different portrayal, but it's great. And in fact, it's more low key than Anthony Hopkins, and I think it would have just been just as good had they continued on. I really think he would have been really, really good actually. But
well, Brian Cox is a very good actor.
Yes,
it's
he
not
is.
Like he would have fucked up Hannibal if he'd gotten the role again.
Yes,
but he had his shot. And he fucking failed.
No, it didn't.
Whatever.
Exactly. And
would you say that it was more like Anthony Hopkins in Hannibal, which was?
Oh, I walked out on Hannibal. I never finished.
I couldn't appreciate what they were trying to do with that movie. I didn't care for it.
I just walked out. I mean, I didn't even bother. I never bothered finishing that movie. It was one of the first movie. I think that was the first movie I ever just walked out on. That I just didn't say.
It's got its moments, but it's not really.
I didn't think
it was a really worthy. I didn't think it was a necessary sequel. I didn't feel like the story made much sense.
Right, and then they had Hannibal Rising, which is bullshit.
That's just horseshit.
And again, that's the thing about prequels. But like I said, I love Manhunter. You know, if you're a Michael Mann fan, you're gonna want to watch this movie, and it's got everything I like about it, and it's just really good stuff. And it's also just one of those films. You know, I just really enjoy it. You know, it's got that thing about, you know, guys living by their own code.
Is it as good as Demolition Man?
Oh, it's way better than Demolition Man. I wish actually, you know what, the new Bev should do a showing of Manhunter. Quite
double
frankly.
Feature with
shit. I think they did actually. I just didn't.
Silence of the Lambs.
I think they may have tried to do that, yeah. And I think I skipped out on it because I may have been busy or really tired at the time. But yeah, it's fantastic. But like I said, it was just one of those movies. It's like Evil Dead 2 that just has a ton of different versions. I remember. Watching one version on tape, and then the DVD I bought, which has a Michael Mann commentary, has different stuff in it than the other version. There's no one defined version. I mean, there's just like maybe a couple of different scenes. That's it. But it's really, really good stuff. And I it's just one of those movies I can't recommend enough. So yeah, you're gonna have to watch Manhunter. You're gonna have to get back to me on that.
Yeah, all right.
And
you're gonna have to watch Silence of the Lambs because
I have seen
apparently
Silence of
you've never seen it because you're not impressed by it.
I am impressed by it. It's very, very good. But if I had to choose between the two, I'd go with Manhunter.
That makes no sense to me.
It's that.
I just
like
don't get
Manhunter.
I know,
like the
I just
style.
Don't get it, man.
I like the look.
I don't understand your.
I like the writing. I like William Peterson in his role in this movie.
I don't get your Manhunter man boner. I don't understand it.
Well, when you watch this movie, you'll understand why I got such a raging heart
so
on for this movie.
So, what would you say would be a adequate prequel that you've seen? Because you don't like prequel
adequate
movies.
Prequel.
You ever seen a good prequel movie?
No, because you know why? I just think it's too difficult to try. When you've already set something up in a story, it's really difficult to shoehorn stuff in. Like, it rarely works. I mean, I can't honestly think of something, because I'm really blanking out here. I mean, yeah, honestly, I can't think of one.
I can think of times when they've done prequel elements to movies that worked really well, and most of the time they did that was in the Freddy movies.
Okay.
And I know it's going to sound weird, but the best part, arguably, of Freddy versus Jason, which is not a good film, okay? Mm-hmm. I can't defend that movie. I mean, it had an interesting idea and stuff, but really it was not much. It was it was like a cartoon, you know, it was just kind of a parody at this point. But there was a cool prequel sort of epilogue to the movie. I mean, sorry, prologue to the movie. And it showed sort of the origin of Freddy Krueger and Jason and this whole, all this business. And that was actually pretty cool. Do you think maybe that that's how you do it? You kind of just deal with it more as like a flashback thing, or
I think if you're going to do a prequel, you kind of have maybe an independent story that doesn't try to shoehorn in it. Maybe you can do like little references, but you're not.
You think it relies too much on the winks and nods to the audience and stuff, or you think it doesn't stand alone well enough?
Is it possible? Sure, but as I said, I don't think there's too much taint of because of
too much taint.
Yes, like in Taint magazine. I just don't think, is it possible to do like an origin story or like a story set in a different time with those characters? Sure, but again, because of the Star Wars prequels, I think that kind of killed it for everybody. It's just not, I mean, could you set like a period, I mean, either that or you just take the character and you set it in a completely different time. I mean,
well,
or it's a character that does not have a defined origin. Like, I know you have like, say, Sherlock Holmes, you had young Sherlock Holmes. You know,
well, like they, like if they made a movie called Murphy and it was a prequel to RoboCop, that'd be a really terrible idea. You don't forget that they would do something like
that. Yeah, and that sounds incredibly horrible. Actually,
it would be awful. And they would find, I like when they do prequels, and I should explain when I say like, I mean,
yeah,
I'm being facetious. They'll do a prequel, like let's say they do the RoboCop Murphy prequel, and they'll find a way to shoehorn in every element from the later, what we liked about the later movies.
They'll show Clarence Boddicker with
He'll Hair. Meet Clarence before they actually meet each other. They'll just violate the hell out of their own continuity.
Right.
He'll meet everyone before they actually met the first time.
Right.
Somehow end up becoming a cyborg already anyway, and then leave you puzzled by the end going, wait, how did that... How does that fit in?
I mean, the only time there would ever be like where you'd want a prequel, and I remember talking to my dad about this a long time ago, was that, you know, the movie Chinatown, when Jake Gittes is talking about his days in Chinatown, where you really would want to see something like that, but you kind of get the idea, no matter what they do, it's not going to be that good. And also the other issue is that just there's been too much time that has passed. Yeah. I think really...
What about Twilight? You think Twilight could use some prequels? Do you think that would work really
Twilight,
well?
Twilight, so they can do whatever the fuck
Isn't
they
The Hobbit technically a prequel to Lord of the Rings, which they're putting together now?
Well, but what do you think about that? That's an independent story, and I guess that's also... It was done... That's a single standalone story. I think it was more of a children's-like story. And although... I can't fucking remember because I never really followed Lord of the Rings. Didn't The Hobbit come out first and then Lord of the Rings?
Or I thought it was a prequel. I thought it came out after, but I don't know. I've never read any of these books.
I haven't read any of these books.
I'm just trying to find a case where there's
fantasy is a little bit different.
Prequel.
And also, those are books, so you could do stuff differently as opposed to movies for some reason.
Well, like in comic book movies, they've tried to do prequels. Like they tried to do the Wolverine movie, which was supposed to be a prequel film to the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
And it failed horribly, but the content was there.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was there. They just didn't know how to do it.
It's tough because if you don't really have an origin story, you're never going to come up with something that's going to be, I think, that good.
Well, that guy had an origin. That guy had like 7 origins, and they were all awesome. They were all fucking badass.
You liked it when he was a young Canadian kid who popped his bone claws and all that?
I actually didn't mind it very much. I thought it was all right. I mean, it was serviceable. I mean, I could have gone without it, but I didn't hate it. I was like, yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Right.
Plus, it was so out there, you could have written it off if you wanted to.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to take that as canon if you don't want. That's what's cool about comics. But, you know, in that case, that guy had like a billion stories, fully told, fleshed out stories.
Yeah.
You could probably grab and extract a beginning, middle, and end from any of the series, multiple series that explained his origins, Weapon X, working with the agency, whatever the fuck bullshit thing he was working with. Also, they kind of crammed all that into one film. Didn't really play out very well. It was really forced and then ultimately made absolutely no sense. I think Jamie on Movie Moan, if you can recommend the podcast where he talked about that movie in particular, summed it up best with one word, which was retarded. He went into more depth than that, but
yes.
What I took away was it was retarded. You know, the best thing you could say about it.
I think the only other prequel idea I ever saw that I thought was okay was that there was a direct-to-video From Dusk Till Dawn sequel that took place in the Old West. Because then it was an independent story set in a different time, but kind of dealt with the central element.
Yeah.
So I don't think I don't necessarily think that's not a bad idea, because you're not shoehorning the same characters. I think that's what helps. If you're not
If it's more organic, you mean?
If it's more organic, you could see something like this happening rather than trying to, like... Again, this is because of Star Wars, where they just try to put all this shit together. It's too coincidental.
Yeah.
And it makes the universe way too small.
I think, you know, I think I defined that wrong. Going back to this thing about calling it organic, I mean, what I mean is that you feel there's a story worth telling there.
Yeah.
But where it fails, you think it's that it's just because they're trying too hard.
They're trying too hard, and they're not following through. Again, it's more like, hey, remember these two guys used to work together? Well, here's the scene of them meeting each other for the first time. And it's not going to be, you know, it seems forced, and it just doesn't seem, you know, like they would have, you know, going back to Star Wars, like, you know, like, did anyone think Darth Vader built C-3PO? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was pointless. Totally pointless development, and I see what you mean. They're just pushing it in there.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the reason I really like, and you know, there's an element of this to First Class, going back to the X-Men thing, because that's another prequel.
Yeah.
There's an element of this to this movie, but it's weird because even though it's violating to its own continuity and to the fact that it's just, like, Havok, who's Cyclops' younger brother, is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Before Cyclops is born, which is weird shit. No, listen, I'm saying, like, you can, you know, when you're dealing with characters who team up with mutants and it's all this crazy mutant madness,
right,
orgy business, whatever they're doing in their free time, you know, they all get together and fight crime or whatever. You know, you can kind of take liberties with that and you can understand where they're coming from. They just want to cram cool characters in there.
Right.
Fine, whatever. It's cool. But in this case, you have two characters who are already... who were already friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the crux of the original movies is the fact that these two used to know each other. So you knew there was a history there. And even though you never thought to yourself, man, I wonder what Magneto and Xavier did when they were young. I know I never found myself thinking that in the movie version.
Right.
I wonder what these two geezers did back in their day. A cool little tease of that was in the first movie when they show the concentration camp scene with Magneto.
Yeah.
And you think maybe there's a hint of something here that's worth telling. And I think that this might be an exception. I don't know. Obviously, it could be a pile of shit. But this could be an exception. I'm not hanging all my hopes on it, but I do think it could be something.
Well, that's something to keep in mind. I just don't find... You know, it goes back to a great joke that Patton Oswalt talked about. You know, it's like certain things you probably don't want to know how they exactly came about. Like, you know, it's like, you want some ice cream? Well, here's a bag of salt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I don't give a shit how it's made. I want it how it is. So,
yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, any attempt to explain certain things is just not going to come out well. I remember I was watching a little featurette on the Stepfather DVD, of all things. And they were like, originally in the script for the Stepfather, they were going to talk about how he was abused and, you know, they fucked around with him as a kid. And they took that out because it's like, we don't want to fucking explain this. I mean, it's just gonna try and humanize them, and it's gonna damp. You know, it's not gonna work as well.
Also, a lot of times when you attempt to explain something, you're actually taking away from the how complicated and how the human the human mind and dealing with a character's development and how, you know, if some basically let me stop
right.
trying to let me drop the pretenses here. It's somebody who's fucked up. Could have been fucked up in many different ways over the course of many, you know, over many different years. All of us develop our experiences from across the board. Just all kinds of shit happens. And
right.
It cheapens that when, like, if you leave it a mystery, if you have a character who is mysteriously fucking insane, it really, if they do it right and they give him the nuance and they give him different types of characterizations, conflicting personality traits, this person's kind when they want to be and horrifying whenever they feel like it, when they desire it. We don't know what triggers it. We don't know what's going on in the character's head, and that makes it slightly scarier because he's unpredictable.
Well, I'll give you another example of this because I thought it was a terrible idea and I never read the stuff, is that, you know, we had just seen Seven again, and... there was someone a few years ago tried to release a series of, I guess, of
adult, young adult novels.
Yes, young adult novels. but no, it was a series of comic books that were based on the sins. It was basically a prequel into the thoughts of John Doe. It's like, this is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Because we're better off in seeing the John Doe as this inhuman force.
And that was what was so great about the movie, because you get little bits and pieces and you have to put it together. And they do that with the heroes too. And it's like, you don't get everything, but especially with the killer, you don't get everything. You get a little bit of his journals, you get a little bit of his background. They tell you he's independently wealthy, he's well-educated, but he's out of his fucking mind. He lives in a goddamn apartment filled with notebooks.
With a cross
he's
hanging above his
bed. Clearly got this insane pathology that we don't even fully understand.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with this stuff. He actually thinks he's a moral crusader. And he's a complex character that you can't peg. And if you try to explain the fact that he was fucked up because his mom or his dad slapped him when he was a kid,
yeah,
you're cheapening the character's development because so many more things happen to people than just that alone that would cause that kind of thing.
And didn't that sort of thing...
And that's also naive.
Basically, that sort of happened when Rob Zombie tried to redo Halloween.
Absolutely, because the problem is that dramatically in a story you have to keep things moving to be interesting,
right?
And a character's development painstakingly occurring on screen over the course of many years and many experiences very rarely is entertaining.
Yeah,
you have to keep it moving, so little references and little hints and little things for the audience to chew on, and then them filling in the gaps themselves. Oh, this person just was born this way, or this person was made this way, or they were born this way and made this way. These little things that you have to consider, that's just the surface there. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, you have to consider all these elements that make up a human being, including, you know, experiences, brain chemistry, all kinds of shit that could fuck somebody up.
Right.
And it cheapens it, putting a cheap story on it that's just a clean way to make it all make sense, because it's not just one thing, unless the story hangs on the experience of the traumatic processing of one particular experience, like a lot of movies do, like, I don't know, the catalyst for many movies is a character's death, you know, the death wish. It's obviously a wife's death pushes the whole movie forward, stuff like that. That's a big deal. That's when the character snapped. But they're not trying to explain every single facet of his life and his choices. You can't. Yeah. You can't track it all back. It just doesn't work
that way. I mean, when you saw First Blood, I mean, that was perfect the way they they just quickly flashed to
Nam. Yeah, to his Nam experiences. And maybe the character had more going on than just that stuff. Or it was probably just Nam. I mean, but they left a lot of his background open. You know, he had this crazy training and then he was a POW and all this stuff like that. But that was all necessary for the story. And the story didn't try to get deeper than that. And that was the point. You know? So it's like, I think it's just a case of trying too hard.
Oh, yeah. And as you can see, it's suffering to this day. I don't know if it's, you know, hopefully this prequel nonsense will
Rambo 12 will decide the fate of that franchise.
God help us all. But anyway, just to change gears before we wrap things up, we have a segment we occasionally do called Ed Hawkins Question Time. It's a Q&A thing here.
We passed over many questions. We're going to catch up right now.
But you can definitely post any questions at forums.braindeadradio.com, especially if you want to be a member. We definitely recommend you want to come and join.
Yeah, please join the Braindead Radio forums.
Because I need other people to talk to.
What I like best about the forums is that CJ posts all the time, and you'll find tons and tons of wonderful anecdotes by CJ, the co-host of Braindead Radio.
Absolutely.
Yes, very entertaining fellow.
Now, this first question comes from B Metal. He asks, if Randall won $1 million, do you think he'd still slump and do your show? How do you answer
question? What do you think first?
Well, $1 million ain't shit, but I figure you may want to come on because you're still going to need something to do.
If I got $1 million, I would quickly deny ever having done a podcast, change my name, move, and no one would ever see me again.
Okay. Okay. If you won $1 million,
you skipped the question, sir.
If you won $1 million, would Randall still be awesome? Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, then.
I don't agree, but.
Well, you do realize you have to pay taxes on that money, right?
You know they're gonna know you're skipping questions, right?
Yes, I know, but I'm gonna do
it. All right. I'm letting you take the helm here.
Okay. Was the Wang pick from Brett Favre's picture really Randall's? And if so, did you fluff it? I can say I've never fluffed anything. And especially not your Wang. And do you have any? What is your thought on that Wrangler shot?
Yes.
Okay, that was yours.
Yes and yes.
Okay, if you and Randall could go back in time, Bill and Ted style, where would you go? And more importantly, would you let Randall hit the two flashing buttons in the phone booth?
Now, let me stop you for one second here, because we talked about this before, but this is a very important question because I think it defines our friendship.
Okay.
Would you let me press the time travel buttons?
Of course.
On the thing?
Yeah.
thank you. I would do the same. I would do the same for you.
And that we would alternate.
That would prove we are buddies.
Yes.
Good buddies.
Now, where would you want to go in the Bill and Ted phone booth?
Oh, Christ. Fuck. I would want to go back to 1989 and see Ghostbusters 2.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my. You've lost your phone dialing privileges.
Where would you go, man?
I would definitely go to... well, first off, I want to go to the future.
Oh, shit. Could we go kill Hitler?
Nah, I don't know if we want to go. That's going to be kind of difficult. I mean, I don't know. We may... See, that's the thing.
We change history, man.
I don't know if I want to fuck around with history all that much just because I'm a little unsure, you know, what the consequences... I mean, if we could... What would help if we had a device that would say, if we removed Hitler, this would happen, and it would run the scenario.
But we don't have that device. We just have Rufus and a telephone.
Well, then, but what if what we do makes things worse, and then we're gonna have to stop ourselves?
How the hell is killing Hitler gonna make anything worse?
I don't know. Because
shit, maybe we could just kill Stalin.
No, that's a good point, actually.
Nobody's gonna miss him. Come on.
All right,
we'll kill everybody.
Kill them all. I think the next question is
what would we kill him with?
We can hit him over the head with a guitar.
Sweet.
El Cabong style.
Yeah. Ooh, I might, just to add to that, I would have a guitar shaped like an axe. It would have a blade on it. I would cut his head off.
Okay.
Fuck him up. Okay. Fuck up Stalin, man. Fuck Stalin. Yeah, fuck communism, by the way.
Exactly, as Jesse Custer would say.
Fucking bullshit.
Next question from B-Metal. Does Randall like MMA? I mean, he's awesome. MMA is awesome, so I think it's a perfect fit. What do you think of mixed martial arts?
I think it's pretty fucking awesome. That's about it. I mean, I really admire that, and it's badass. And I do my own mixed martial arts, but it's really just sort of a fake karate.
When you say that, are you just talking about masturbation?
Maybe. That's what I call masturbation. Mixed martial arts. I have a technique.
Okay. If BDR and the Ed... From Rob. If BDR and the Ed Hawkins Show were to get together do a podcast, would Randall... would you sit on Rob's lap? Okay, I'm going
to
take that.
I'm going to say only if Rob promises not to get a stock. Not to get wood? Yeah.
Okay, Ed.
I think I fucked that up.
Some shit like that.
You looked really confused.
We're going to...
Is that a euphemism you're not familiar with?
I'm a little thrown off here.
Yeah, wait, go back to the top. We got to go through these.
Okay, well, we got a lot of other questions.
Yeah, here. Yeah, we got
to... what are the movies you're most looking forward to in 2011 from Rob?
Yes, go.
Okay, for me, so far, Source Code and The Lincoln Lawyer.
What the hell is Source Code?
That's the new the follow-up from the guy from Duncan Jones who did Moon.
Is that a movie about typing?
No.
Sounds like a movie about typing.
No.
Fuck that.
No. It's the movie Jake Gyllenhaal, who time travels himself onto a train. It's the follow-up to Moon, and I really look forward to it.
He time travels onto a train. All right.
Yeah, he's got 8 minutes to figure out a train.
So I'm really looking forward to all the comic movies. That's my thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's it. Just across the board.
Yeah, next question from Rob. How does Randall put up with your idiosyncrasies without resorting to beating you?
Berating you, thank you.
Oh, berating me?
Yes.
Well, either way. And could you...
I don't stop from beating you. Every time we finish a podcast, I beat you senseless.
You give me five across the eyes.
I tell you to give me your goddamn show.
And could you teach Rob on anything on how he could deal with Siege?
I'm not sure how to respond. Do you have any ideas here on what do you think?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I guess I could say. I mean, I don't want
to. I try hard to detach myself. I go to my happy place when we're talking.
Masturbate furiously again.
Well, I can't do that while we're on the podcast.
Not in here.
Well,
please.
Here's the thing. I could, out of respect, I do not.
Yeah, please.
So what happens is, I hear things like when you tell me Manhunter, you like Manhunter more than fucking Silence of the Lambs. You know what? Fine. Happy place.
Even though in your place. Mind, you're probably going to be like, what'd you just say?
I want to just lose my shit. I almost lost it in the theater when you told me that. When you said Seven is the best.
You're going to take out your knife.
It's the best serial killer movie, like, out there. There is. And I was like, the first movie that came to mind was fucking Silence of the Lambs, which I like Seven, but Jesus Christ, I like Silence of the Lambs so much better. And I almost lost my shit. I wanted to rip out my theater chair and fucking throw it at the screen and just raise my hands to the sky and just scream and I just almost lost
you
it.
You were going to pull that one scene from RoboCop when the former council member, you know, takes the mayor hostage.
Oh, yeah.
You would have taken the theater hostage and you would have been screaming at the SWAT team to first say, don't fuck with me, and then don't jerk me off.
Yeah, exactly. But I seriously, I'm not kidding. I might have a meltdown in my brain when you told me that. I was like, it just didn't compute. It was just shut everything down.
Okay.
It was like a virus, like when your computer just collapses.
Next question from B-Metal. Does Randall do any vocal exercises before the show? His voice sounds practiced while his ears sound labored. Could Randall show you his vocal exercises? You have any response?
It's all masturbating. Yeah, everything. Every question can be answered with masturbating.
I'm not doing enough, apparently. Now, and also he asks, why do you live near every movie location ever? This is directed to me. Once again, because we live near Hollywood, USA.
Well, I live down the street, thank you very much. So I live near all the same places you
live. Yeah, exactly. Near. So we still live in near Hollywood, USA. And surprisingly, despite all the runaway production, filming still goes on around here.
Well, especially because back in the day, a lot of movies were just shot, and a lot of TV shows are shot around here. A lot of people don't realize that even shows like Dexter and fucking Dexter are all shot.
CSI Miami.
Are all shot around here. Like, they shoot Dexter
and Dexter's laboratory
near my they've shot it near my place a couple times.
Okay,
at the golf course right there.
Did you see James Remar?
I did not.
God damn it. Okay,
but I will tell him he looks fantastic in your eyes.
Yes, you go up to him and says Ed Hawken thinks you look great for 58.
That's right. Great for 58. Oh, yeah.
Another question from Rob. If you could have sex with one video game character, who would it be and why?
Do you have an answer to that?
I'm going to say Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 2 because I'm fucked in the head that way.
Raiden, the cyborg guy?
Yes. The albino cyborg guy. Well, he becomes the cyborg in Metal Gear Solid 4. I don't know the exact mythology because it's all pretzel fucked anyway, but he's not that way in Metal Gear Solid 2. So he's just some assassin killer with cool, awesome white hair.
Yeah. I want to say, you know who I would be very interested in figuring how this would work, because I'm not a huge fan of this franchise, but it just seems very interesting, is what's her name from Metroid, the main
Samus?
Character? Yeah.
Okay.
I give that a try.
With
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what would happen. I would just let it flow. It went.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Would you let her, what if she kept the helmet on?
That'd be a little weird, but okay. I try. I'm not.
What
I'm
if
open.
She did the morph ball in front of you and then took the suit off? Wouldn't that be a little weird?
It would be.
Jesus,
but
I think your head just exploded.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I would just, I'd feel it out.
I think we've done enough on this question. Rob also asks, if you could be one video game character, who would it be and why?
I would be Mega Man.
I don't know why
I would be Mega Man, but I just like Mega Man. He's got a gun for an arm. I mean, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, but he
got
to wear little blue tights.
He doesn't wear tights. He's a robot.
He's got a little blue, the way he's built. He's got a little
blue. I thought he was just a robot. I thought that was just a skin.
He's a goddamn robot is what he is. Video game character. Shit, this is a hard question.
Wait a minute. Are those tights?
Well, it's weird because I'm like, I don't, I mean.
It's like he's bionic. I mean, I thought skin would just change color or transform.
Yeah, but he still looks like he's got little Speedos on.
Yeah, but he wears a helmet. He's got hair. Does that mean he wears a suit? I always thought that was just the way he looked. I didn't think about that being a costume.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Why would a robot wear a costume?
I don't know.
Shit, I don't know anything about Mega Man.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm changing my answer. Changing it. Go ahead. Changing my answer.
I can't really think of give me a second for a specific character. I know for video games, say video game item.
Okay, I'll answer now. No, go ahead.
Okay, I want Kirby Shoe from Super Mario Brothers.
Kirby, 3. The pink fat thing. Is that what you said? I wasn't listening.
No.
Do you want to be fat Kirby thing?
No.
The creature that
Kirby
is
Kirby is very cute, but it's not...
A fat floating thing? What is that thing anyway?
It's a piece of fluff.
A piece of fluff? Like
yeah.
A cloud or what? Like a cotton ball?
Yeah, exactly.
Just a bubble?
It's like Mr. You know, like...
It's like Mr. Bubble?
I don't know. Like Mr. Saturn from Earthbound. You know who I'm talking about. The big nose thing with the
little...
That
thing fucking freaks me out, by the way. That thing looks weird. That's the creepiest fucking thing. It looks like a tumor. It looks like something somebody.
It's not a tumor.
It looks like somebody's a fucking tumor they extracted from somebody's body and put little shoes on it. It looks horrible.
Oh, God.
You've heard of those tumors? I forgot what they're called. The tumors with the
cysts,
the teeth, and the eye, the hair and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's. I know
it looks like one of those,
tumor.
Man. Yeah, it's these fucking horrendous mutant tumors.
Wow, the fact that I nearly had a relationship with a guy who really enjoyed that character, I think, shows how fucked it was really from the start.
Oh, I figured it out. Okay. I would be Laura Croft, but I'd be Laura Croft as a man. So I'd wear. I'd wear the little shorts and a green tank.
Wouldn't you rather be Duke Nukem?
No. I'd be Yoshi.
Mayor Haggard.
I'd be Yoshi. I'd be one of the cool Yoshis, though, like the invincible ones from later in the thing. Like, not invincible, where you have like cool powers, like a blue Yoshi or some shit.
Well, the blue Yoshi could fly.
Yeah.
The red one had fire. You sure you don't want to be Mike Haggard or something? You know that.
I don't know. I like Solid Snake. Solid Snake's
a badass
character.
That's a good one. I'm trying to say,
I guess Duke Nukem would be the one, because like it's just a cool fucking character.
I'm gonna say, in terms of, if I was a video game character, and granted, I'm kind of rushed.
Gave like nine answers. I'm landing on Duke Nukem.
See, I wish I could just say Scott Pilgrim, you know, but that's not a video game character. Although he
cop
did have
out.
His,
cop
he did
out.
Have his own video
cop
game.
Out.
He did have his own video game. I could say again, because I'm that way. Even though I'm not a big fantasy guy, I could say Link or. I'm trying to think.
You know what I think it would be? We could stick with. You said, didn't you say Raiden? Or you said you'd have sex with Raiden?
I wouldn't want to have sex. Actually, no, that's a good idea.
You would be Raiden and then have sex. You just jerk off and then
okay? If I was Raiden, I would want to have sex with Dante from Devil May Cry, because it's the same fucking character anyway.
All right, there you go.
So there you have it. I can't honestly think
of anything else. What's the next question?
Let's see what else we got. If you could watch, also from Rob, if you could watch Randall have sex with one of his character, why would you watch? The answer is I would not want to watch, because I want to be able to perform and not become impotent.
Right.
Okay.
That's a good
next
answer.
Question from Rob. If Randall was a sandwich, would you eat him? Absolutely not. That's disgusting.
I would be a sad sandwich.
That's disgusting. Let's see here. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. If you could have lunch with one famous person, would it be Randall? Ooh, that's a good question.
Nah, that's that makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on.
Yeah,
what's the next one? How come you can't Photoshop as awesome as Randall? That's a ridiculous question.
Because
move on.
I have no computer skills, that's why. Because
of my years of covert Black Ops training, that's why.
Exactly. If you could live anywhere in the world, anywhere even underwater in a super awesome secret base like in James Bond, would you let Randall live with you? Well, first off, I give Randall the freedom to do anything he wants, so if he doesn't want to live where I want to live, he's perfectly fine. We live in
But what if I said
we live in a land of freedom.
What if I said I'd pay rent? Like, can I live in your underwater base?
Okay.
I'd rent out a room.
That's fine.
Or maybe a couple rooms.
We'll have to work out a lease, though. I just want to make sure. I don't want you. You can't just punch walls, because otherwise you're going to lose your security deposits. So.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
There's tons of holes in my wall.
Yeah, because
yeah,
you just punch.
I'm so fucking violent. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, an underwater base is all great and all, but it's like, what else are you going to do? Because you're going to be there by yourself.
Well, I don't even like the water, so I probably wouldn't even live in the...
Yeah.
I mean, like, being submerged underwater for long periods of time. Like, I went on a submarine when I went out to San Francisco.
Right.
And it started wobbling around, and I was in the water, and I'm kind of hydrophobic.
Yeah.
And, fuck that, man. I wouldn't want to live on that
shit. That's also why you reek like a Frenchman. But, as to where I would live...
That doesn't extend to bathing, thank you.
Are you sure? I would say, I mean, at the moment, either... I probably want one of those cool lofts, you know, like in the movies where that angsty guy is somehow in his 20s and he's like somehow...
This is about the underwater base, sir.
This is not about
you're
the underwater
you're just drifting
base.
Off into fantasy. Wait, what's the next question? How come you can't Photoshop as awesome as Randall?
We already answered that question.
Scroll down to a new question.
An answer. I'm looking around, goddammit. Let's just see here. I'm going to look around if we got anything else. Let's see here.
Here's another one. What movies are you most looking forward to in... Okay.
Come on. All right. When do you plan on quitting the show? Most likely either when we've run out of ideas, we go our separate ways.
Or when you're fucking dead.
That's pretty much it. I would have to say that.
Okay, here's the next question. Knowing Ed, he probably... Oh,
that's
not
a question. Are you accepting applications for occasional guest hosts when the award-winning Randall's incapable of fulfilling his duties?
Vin, you banned Vin from the show. He doesn't know this, but I remember I said, can Vin host the show? And you said, fuck Vin in his asshole with a Bowie knife. Fuck
I
him.
Didn't say that
fuck
at
him
all.
To hell. He's
no,
a pussy.
No,
he's
didn't.
A pussy, and I'll
no,
kick
I
his
didn't.
Ass any day of the
no,
week.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I did not say any such thing. That's an outrageous lie. I will say that, as always, I am always open to having guests, and believe me, I always look out for other ideas. In fact, there might be a possibility of having a guest for the next episode, actually. And I think we're definitely going to, you know, have, you know, see how it goes.
Can I take a minute to give a quick shout out to Rob, CJ, a couple of awesome bros,
yes,
in BDR, supportive fellows.
Right.
Vin, a rad, awesome, humble, yet ultra badass man.
Yes.
And B-Metal, a rockin' supporter of the Ed Hocken Show and myself. And I'm a big fan of myself as well, so I appreciate, yes, that support. And I wanted to shout out to all four of our listeners.
Okay, that's great. No.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Well, that's fantastic. I will say, as to when Randall's incapable of fulfilling his duties, we have I have a checklist. And in case, you know, we have
Danny Glover is at the top of the checklist, right?
Yeah, no, he's not.
Yeah.
If he was, if in case he seemed to be unfit for his duties, I would, invoke the powers vested in me as the host of the show to have you set aside and, bring in someone else if need be.
Telling me you'd force me into retirement? Is that what's happening?
If things happen,
what are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm just saying, if you become incapacitated and you don't have the mental capabilities to no longer.
Even if I'm a drooling idiot, I'm, yes, like, arr, arr,
and you can't seem
and
to
I'm
say
like,
no.
Cheese sandwich.
I will invoke the powers vested in me as the host of this show to find somebody else. Of course, if that happens, we will no longer have sweet graphic headers to do for the show.
Just Jackson Pollock, like, feces smears.
No, it'll just be black on white text, basically. It'll be brand X.
You just type them up and scan them.
It'll just be brand X advertising.
Take a shitty photo of your drawings or whatever. Just draw on a notepad.
No, there won't even be drawings because I can't draw. So there's just no way of that happening. But, yeah, that's basically it. Now, obviously, I assume is it possible to say if things were to happen to me? And then, yes, you are the next in line for succession.
Of the Ed Hocken Show. I'd,
yes,
change my name.
The name still, you take the name Ed Hocken from,
right,
me.
Right. Well, it's like
the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah, yeah. The next Hocken.
Yes.
The next in line will get the name Hocken.
Ed Hocken, yes.
Right. But I thought you would just clone yourself.
No, I don't have the capability for that.
I thought you had a clone here already, like in your closet or something.
No. Why
That's just
I want
a blow-up doll?
No. No,
okay.
No.
I saw something.
I wouldn't be so sexually frustrated if I had. Actually, no, wait. It does present a very good point.
What, the blow-up doll?
No, the clone.
No, I don't want to get into this. I was just...
Just whether or not that's incest if you're literally fucking yourself. But actually, to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't, because I want to go have sex with something else.
Yeah.
I don't
Plus, wouldn't you just bum yourself out? Like, you're kind of neurotic. I mean, you got this like neuroses about yourself where you kind of obsess over small details and freak yourself out. Wouldn't you, a duplicate of you,
myself,
just fuck yourself up? Like, you'd be like, what are you doing that for? Like, you'd actually double guess yourself. Like, you'd internally be guessing yourself, second guessing yourself. I mean, about everything, and then your duplicate would be double second guessing you about everything. So now your external behavior will be just as scrutinized as your internal monologue.
Actually, it'd be quadruple, because that clone would also be second guessing itself. So
right.
It would just basically.
You guys would just sit around and cry all day.
Yeah,
what
pretty much.
You just bring yourself to tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you're right. Not unless you can create different versions of yourself, like in Multiplicity, which was a horrible movie.
Actually, Multiplicity, Jesus Christ. That's the only Multiplicity reference you're ever going to hear this year of 2011.
If you listen to any podcast this year that makes...
Which is funny, by the way, because that's the second time I've heard a reference to it this year.
Jesus Christ.
One by my good friend Andrew. Who,
oh, my God.
Brought it up out of nowhere. Yeah. I don't know. You and Andrew, you guys love that Multiplicity movie.
No,
I
don't.
Forgot
I don't
it
love
existed.
Multiplicity. It's not a very good movie. It's not a good movie. It's very, very boring.
Yeah,
I saw it when I was 13 because there was nothing else to do.
Michael Keaton, where are you? He
was great.
You can probably call him up to be on this podcast because I don't think he's doing
anything.
Oh, I love
to have Michael Keaton on this show.
That'd be awesome.
He was great in The Other Guys. That was a really good movie. Although I like Hot Fuzz more than The Other Guys.
Well, yeah.
I just think it's just a better movie. So, but Other Guys was pretty fucking good. And Will Ferrell, I think, was actually good, just not playing his usual shouty self.
Yeah.
So
I haven't seen it yet.
I recommend it, actually. I really do.
Sweet.
It was directed surprisingly well. But,
nice.
We've pretty much covered as much as we can, and as always, we got other stuff to cover that we never get to.
We're busy men.
Kind of. But in any case, we got a midnight show going. It's raining out, and I don't even know if we're going to survive the drive on the way back. Yeah. So anyway, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Keep it classy.